the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
And we hope indeed you're waking up. We're so glad you could join us here on Wake Up on this Thursday morning. Happy Thursday, Brother Dave.
Yes, indeed. Happy Thursday. Now, it's just you and me today.
Yeah,
Gabby's out.
Gabby's out. She's
taking
frolicking
care of business
somewhere along the beach probably this early, watching
probably
the sun
not
come up. Just getting away from us, too.
Yeah,
in the
that's
meantime,
probably it.
Today is also the feast day of Blessed John of Parma. And we'll get into that in just a little bit, but we always begin with a prayer. Here's one on his behalf. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. May we stay true to our beliefs, especially regarding our faith in God, and seek to bring his works to others, especially the elderly in need. Blessed John of Parma, pray for us.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
All right. Got a pretty good show for you today. We have a number of events we want to share with you, some actually happening this weekend. So we want to give you some last-minute updates on what's going on there. Katie Bogner, Catholic author of a children's book entitled, We Have a Pope. Well, that's good to know.
No, and, I mean, yes, we do have a pope presently,
yeah,
but it's about announcing when they do elect a pope.
Yes.
Yes. There we go.
I was going to get into that a little later,
okay,
but thanks for clarifying that,
all right,
Dave.
Yes. We do have a pope, yes.
And we also have David Dawson Jr.
Yes.
Believe it or not, his son.
Yes.
Have to deal with that all his life. Anyway, we're not going
to
talk about that, but we will talk about his witness to love and the organization he's with and spending Holy Week with the family and some of the events that take place and how the family can participate in that and grow closer to Christ in the process. And someone you're familiar with, you hear on EWTN and on our radio stations throughout the South, Dr. Ray Guarandi. He's got his own show, but he's also going to be with us this morning talking about a book entitled Simple Steps to a Stronger Marriage. Okay? And it has nothing to do with the gym, but it has a lot to do with
actually
the brain.
Yeah. I'm sure there's exercises involved.
Good. I like that. Play on
See
words.
See there? Yeah. Every relationship needs nurturing. Every relationship. I mean, it doesn't matter. How long you've been married?
Almost 41 years.
41 years.
I know I don't look it, but.
Yeah, you look. Anyway.
I look like maybe 20 at the most.
Okay. Anyway.
Believe it or not, my wife had to put up with me for 41 plus years. So.
Well. Lisa and I have been married for 44 years.
Okay,
44 years, and it's something we're always working on, constantly working on that relationship. You know, and I think that's what he's going to probably give us a few tips.
And I don't want to get into it now, but when the kids are gone, you have to reestablish it. Your life changes again
all the time.
But I want to get into the weather before we have to go to our break, because everybody's chomping at the bit to find out when the rain's going to get here. Cloudy skies this morning, and the rain's going to start rolling in after lunchtime this afternoon. 60% chance, as a matter of fact. High 68, low 58. Winds out of the east southeast at 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, the high is going to be 75. Thunderstorms will be occurring in the morning and early afternoon. Then it's going to taper off as the day goes on, making way for what should be a beautiful weekend.
Great.
Yes, highs are going to be in the mid-70s. Plenty of sunshine Saturday and Palm Sunday. Temperatures in and around the area right now, 51 degrees in Biloxi, home of Thibodeau in Baton Rouge. Over in Covington, it's 47, and 56 degrees in the Crescent City. It's almost 5 after on this Thursday morning, March 21st. Thank you for being with us. We're coming back with some events. We also have the Gospel in Reflection here on Wake Up.
Good Thursday morning. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is a continuation of John chapter 8. Jesus said to the Jews, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever keeps my word will never see death." So the Jews said to him, "Now we are sure that you are possessed. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say whoever keeps my word will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham who died, or the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is worth nothing. But it is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. You do not know him, but I know him. And if I should say that I do not know him, I would be like you, a liar. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid and went out of the temple area. We've heard the gospel, and so now we reflect.
Today's gospel concludes the long 3-part debate Jesus had in Jerusalem with Israel religious leaders, identified as the Jews. Jesus makes 3 claims. 1. He has the power to save people from death, which refers both to physical and spiritual death. 2. He is greater than Abraham, who actually saw him. And 3. He is divine. His opponents counter with 2 charges. First, they use the familiar attack of those who lack the facts, the ad hominem assault of personalities. They call Jesus a Samaritan, that is, a half-breed apostate who promotes a false religion. This accusation is so absurd, Jesus just ignores it. Secondly, they claim Jesus is possessed by the devil, which our Lord counters with the example of his holy behavior, for he always honors the Father. Jesus also affirms that he does not seek his own glory. Instead, the Father honors him. Ultimately, it is the Father's judgment that matters, because the Father is the final judge. In this way, Jesus sets up a contrast between the Father who honors him and Jesus' opponents who dishonor him, and therefore they set themselves in opposition to the Father. Earlier, Jesus claimed to reveal the truth that brought humans true freedom. Now he makes an even stronger claim by declaring, "Whoever keeps my words will never see death." Immediately, Jesus refers to spiritual death. But ultimately, even physical death is defeated when the just are resurrected. This is why death should hold no fear for Christians. And so it is in this spirit that St. Paul quotes Isaiah and Hosea. "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" Blinded by pride, Jesus' enemies could only see a man. So when he said, "Before Abraham came to be, I am," they wanted to stone him because he identified himself with a father. 2,000 years later, Jesus is still persecuted and his faithful followers. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy, and we will have a wonderful day. It is 11 after the hour. So glad you could join us. And back again to tell you with some events. Dave, I don't know if you like to play golf or not, but I do. And St. George Men's Dragon Golf Classic's coming up.
When is it?
It is April the 8th.
All right. I'm lousy at golf. You have to see the ball, and I'm afraid that's where I'm lacking.
It's a 3-man scramble, so you'll have 2 guys on the team to help you if you decide you want to play.
Tell me where I hit the ball.
Pick up your slack. That's right.
Yeah.
It's a shotgun starting at 9:30 in the morning, $225 per player, $675 if you want to enter as a team. And there's going to be plenty of food, refreshments throughout the day on the course, and it's going to be played at the Country Club of Louisiana, one of the top golf courses in the state. And so if you want a little more information, we have it for you at ccmedia.live.
All right. And then there's going to be a CYO Spring Retreat. That's this weekend, March 22nd through the 24th at Bogue Chitta. And it's going to be open to 8th to 12th grade students. So join us for a weekend of rest, prayer, fun, competition, and community. You're going to meet at St. Catherine of Siena. That's tomorrow at 5:30, and you're going to return Sunday by 10:30 a.m. So registration and more information, just go to ccmedia.live.
Vocare.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Vocare, yeah. Echo Communications, is having their annual gathering, and it's their big fundraiser. It's going to be a cruise on the Mississippi River, and by way of the iconic Steamboat Natchez, Friday, April 26th. Not too early to get your tickets, because this is usually a sold-out event. You'll enjoy dinner, an open bar, dance to the music of the Dukes of Dixieland Jazz Band. It is just going to be a blast. Kind of reminds me of the old days in high school when we used to jump on the Natchez and go down the river. Yep.
Did you?
And don't remember much of that, as a matter of fact, anymore. But you will be able to remember this event because it's a great one. And there's also going to be complimentary shuttle, so you don't have to worry about trying to find a parking space around the quarter or by the Natchez. You park at St. Catherine of Siena. They'll shuttle you by way of bus to the event and bring you back. And again, that's Friday, April 26th. For more information, go to ccmedia.live.
So Vocare now has a theme song.
Yeah.
Yeah, how about that? Okay. There'll be a directed retreat at the Cynical on the Lake. That's June 28th through July 3rd. And it's sponsored by the Archdiocese of New Orleans Spiritual Center. And the cost for the six-day retreat is $750 a person. It includes accommodation, meals, and your own personal spiritual director. How about that? So go to ccmedia.live for more details on that.
All right. That's not a bad deal.
That is a great
spiritual
deal.
Spiritual direction is important.
6 days.
And you get it one-on-one. So yeah. One final event we want to mention. Make plans to attend the third annual Messengers of Hope Gala. It's going to support St. Jared Magella Catholic School in Baton Rouge. The event is April 7th. It's going to be at White Oak Estate and Garden. Chef John Foles will prepare a fantastic meal.
You know it.
There's going to be a silent as well as live auction. Fortunately, yours truly is going to be the MC of the event.
Oh,
so I look forward to seeing one and all there. And again, tickets are just $200 a person. If you'd like more information, go to ccmedia.live. All right. Good enough?
Excellent. All excellent.
Right. All right, we have our guest coming up, Kathleen Bogner, talking about a children's book called We Have a Pope.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for March 21st. Today we celebrate Blessed John of Parma. 2 decades after the death of Francis of Assisi, the reforms and simple living he had called for were at risk. Enter Blessed John of Parma, who served as the 7th Minister General of the Franciscans. Born in 1209, John was trained as a philosophy professor before entering the Franciscans and being ordained to the priesthood. In 1245, he met and left a deep impression on Pope Innocent IV. 2 years later, when the Franciscans were electing a new minister general, Pope Innocent remembered Father John and held him up as the man best qualified for the office. The surviving followers of St. Francis were pleased with John's election, confident that he would call for a return to the spirit of poverty and humility so evident in the early days of the order. As Minister General, John of Parma traveled on foot to almost every Franciscan friary in existence. Sometimes he would arrive and not be recognized, remaining there for a number of days to test the true spirit of the brothers. After 10 years in leadership, John retired to a hermitage at Greccio, where he lived to age 80. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It's 18 after the hour on this Thursday morning. Welcome back to Wake Up. Damian Colano, David Dawson, and our guest is Catherine or Katie Bogner. She is an author and also a Catholic school teacher from Central Illinois who's very passionate when it comes to teaching and equipping parents, catechesis, and fellow teachers when it comes to our faith and the beauty of Christ and in the church, especially focusing on children. new book out calling We Have a Pope. Good morning, Katie.
Hi, Damien.
So glad you could be with us. I'm intrigued about the book because it's more than just an announcement, we have a pope. You actually go into detail without getting too into the weeds as to how a pope is selected, especially at the level for children. Tell us a little more about it.
Yeah, so it's a picture book. And so when my editor first proposed the idea to me, she's like, I'd like for you to tell the history of the papacy and why the pope is so important, and then how a conclave works, but do it in like 1,000 words or less. And I thought that maybe she was a little crazy, but we pulled it off. So I was teaching during the last papal conclave when Pope Francis was elected, and really struggled to find resources to help explain it at the level of my students. And so I am hoping that this book not only just gives them a better understanding and respect for the pope as a whole, but helps them to understand these like beautiful traditions that we have and how the Holy Spirit guides the church in a papal election.
Yes, and each page is not inundated with words. The pictures and the words really correlate and equal out one another.
Yeah, our illustrator, Courtney Senn, she just absolutely knocked it out of the park. So when you flip through the pages, you'll see everything from, you know, little cameos of the cardinals coming into St. Peter's Square to, she actually did like a kind of a childlike version of the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, where the conclave, of course, takes place, and then shows the square filling up with people. So she really was able to embed the book with rich detail, and again, that history and tradition that we have. But again, at the level that like makes a child like kind of curious as they go from page to page.
Yeah, and you even started out with St. Peter being our first pope. That's really cool that you take it from the very beginning and to where it is today.
Yeah, I really wanted kids to understand that this is, that the papacy began with Jesus, that he called Peter to lead the church. And so we have him, you know, we talk about, there's a little picture with Jesus on St. Peter's boat, the bark of St. Peter, handing him the keys. And then it goes through, and on the next page, it has about six popes with the keys being passed down all the way from Peter. And then the actual picture is of JP II. So it just shows throughout the centuries, over the eras of history, that we have always had this legacy of leadership.
Now, let's talk a little bit about your website, if you don't mind, because I went to it, and I think it's a wonderful website. LookToHimAndBeRadiant.com, and we'll make sure everybody has that, but LookToHimAndBeRadiant.com. The reason I want to bring everyone's attention to it, we all have children that we're trying to raise in a Catholic faith and grandchildren, and boy, do you have the resources available, including one that's called Prayer for the Pope. It's a coloring page, and papal trivia. I love it.
Yeah, I did that with my students last week for the anniversary of Pope Francis's election, and they really enjoyed that. So yeah, my website just kind of came about. I was a DRE at my local parish for about 15 years, and then I teach in a Catholic school. So I'm constantly making resources for my students in my parish, and I figure why not share them? So there's about, I don't know, 12, 13 years worth of resources that I've made, and they're all completely free. So I want them to be accessible for teachers and catechists and parents and grandparents because, you know, why not? Why not share all of those things for them?
So how do you spend the time doing all this? I mean, how do you come up with the ideas? Your other books are very intriguing as well. And we won't get into each and every one of them, but there's one that talks about Advent and Christmas. It seems to be a factual book and not so much a novel or a little storytelling, but a factual storytelling, which I think is different than a lot of children's books.
Yeah, that's actually been a big goal of mine. I never really set out to be a writer, but I love books and I love Catholic children's books and really try to stay on top of the new things that are on the market. And so all of my books that I've written so far are books that I have never seen a resource for. So I'm not trying to just reinvent a different version of something that already exists. I'm trying to create things that I know will be helpful in Catholic homes and classrooms that I know I need in my classroom and trying to put those things. Like, there's a lot of beautiful storybooks about the story of Christmas, but our Advent book that we just released last year is really more about the details and traditions. Like, why do we do this? And where did this come from? And what's an idea for a family to do to celebrate this particular feast day, for example. So yeah, they're all nonfiction, but they're all at the level of a child and meant to support a family or a teacher.
And it's right up Dave's alley.
That's exactly. Look, I'm sitting here going through the book. Hey, Katie, I'm going through your book here, and I stopped at this page because I think this is the most fascinating part of the papal election. After the smoke billows out, right, the white smoke.
Right.
And then it says, inside Room of Tears, the new pope pauses to reflect and pray as he dons his papal vestments for the first time. Dressed all in white, he's ready to meet his people. You got a picture here. These illustrations are great, but you got a picture of a clothes rack with the different vestments on it there. The Veil of Tears, why is it, the Room of Tears, why is it called that?
So I read this book with my sixth graders last week when we were talking about holy orders, and that was the most common question I got as they read the book in their small groups.
Yeah.
And so I talk about how that in that moment, that might be the first quiet, private moment that the newly elected pope has to actually allow this huge task that the Lord is asking of him to kind of rush over him.
Yeah.
And it's a moment to collect himself before he walks out onto that balcony and greets the thousands of people in Rome and then the millions of people watching on TV. And so it's not so much that these are tears of sorrow, but that it is a moment of change for him.
I can imagine.
The overwhelming emotions that he must feel in that moment, but also a time of prayer, that it's this quiet, private, humble room where he is able to pray, to be with the Lord before this huge next step in his life.
Now, have you and Courtney worked together on other books?
We have not. So Courtney has self-published her own book. She has a couple books about the saints and a couple of other, like one about Mary. I've long admired her work. So we've kind of been like social media friends, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But we've never met in real life. We live across the country from one another.
Wow.
But when my editor and I were talking about this book, we wanted it to have a really classic children's picture book look. You know, it has a really simple color palette. It looks kind of reminds you of the timeless picture books like, you know, Madeline and Corduroy, for example.
It does.
And so we knew that Courtney could pull that off. We knew that she could have that kind of whimsical, childlike style that wouldn't look like a book like from a certain era. It would look like something a little more timeless. And I'm blown away every time I look at her illustrations.
Yeah, and it is a beautiful book.
It is.
You, as far as the books go, you working on anything right now? I know you just finished this one, but
yes, we're churning them out pretty quickly. So as I already mentioned, the Advent and Christmas book just came out last year. And of course, it only made sense then to have a Lent and a Holy Week companion. So hopefully, God willing, in 2025, we'll have a companion Lent and Holy Week book that will match the same style as that nonfiction Advent book we just released. So that's in the works right now.
Share with everyone some of the materials that you have online, because I'm looking and you have, you call it the Radiant Roundup, where you had something on St. Joseph, St. Patrick, and you got Holy Week coming up next week. So this is a perfect opportunity for someone to go to your website and maybe get some materials to focus with their children leading up to Easter.
Yeah, absolutely. So all of the resources on the website, there's everything from coloring pages to Bible studies to, I actually teach middle school, and so I have a lot of the resources are for older kids, which is nice because sometimes there's a lot of resources online that are maybe for younger kids as well. And so there have been so many things that I've put on the website over the years. I have found that it's easiest every month to do this Radiant Roundup where I go through all of the feast days or liturgical things happening in that month and then do a quick summary, and then there's links for each of those items. So if you come to St. Joseph's feast day, you can click on any of those links and then go straight to those activities and either print them out or, you know, look at them over. I also have book lists for every month. As I mentioned, I really, really love keeping a pulse on good Catholic books for kids. So I pull together like stacks of books that work well for the particular liturgical season and feast days of that month.
Yeah. And it's beautiful because do you touch on the altar for St. Joseph and drinking beer for St. Patrick?
No, come on.
Beer drinking can be done in the classroom.
Yeah, drinking beer back in the day, that's the monks made beer because it was nutritional.
True.
Yes. Am I right?
This is kids' books.
I know, but she's got different ages. Last question. What is, we have a pope targeted for audience because you mentioned sixth grade classes, but I mean, that I don't know if they would get into a book for as far as that is concerned, though it's very informative.
Yes. So the book, I mean, it's a picture book. And like I said, it's less than 1,000 words. So you can absolutely sit down and read this with, you know, a 5 to 7 year old for sure and just mm-hmm. enjoy it as a picture book. But like I said, in my junior high classroom, I'm actually using it for instruction. And there's also a whole appendix in the back with extra information. And yes, then I've yeah. heard from, I've been contacted by multiple people that they actually have used it in like maybe their CCD classroom. And then they promptly handed it to their RCIA director and yeah. said, you need to go over this with your RCIA.
You got a glossary in the back.
It, yeah. If you start from the back moving forward, you could definitely address it with adults for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah, so it's twofold. It's yeah. a great book.
It
yeah,
is.
There's even Latin phrases. I'm not going to get into them. I don't know Latin. But the point is, it's very informative and it's a great book. Thank you so much for being with us this morning, Katie.
Yeah, thank you so much. Have a good day.
Have a good Easter, too. It is almost 30 after the hour. Katie Bogner, thank you for being with us. David Dawson Jr. is coming up next on Wake Up.
Thirty-five past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I am David Dawson, along with Damian Collada, who's enjoying the Heavenly Donut, chocolate-covered donut over here. So I'll do this interview, Damian.
You just enjoy yourself. I'll enjoy my breakfast okay. like everyone else.
Right. Right now, we are talking to somebody who I'm kind of familiar with, David Dawson Jr. Good morning, son.
Good morning. Good morning. How's it going?
It's going great. Yeah, I love your topic here because this is one of my passions. As soon as we finish the morning show here in Baton Rouge on Holy Thursday, we leave because I emphasize let's experience the Triduum. And before Absolutely. We get into that, talk about what the Triduum is, Dave.
Yeah, so the Triduum is Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and then Easter Vigil.
Mm-hmm.
So you're moving, basically, it's like the focus is you're moving through the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. The most important kind of major focal point of the church's year mm-hmm. and of salvation history, it's all right there.
You know, to get the full experience of a great Easter, in my opinion, is to try to attend all the services of the right. Triduum, right? So talk about... Yeah. Holy Thursday. Talk about what goes on there.
Yeah, so Holy Thursday is the Lord's Supper. So you're entering into the Last Supper, but it's also they're going to do the washing of the feet, you know, because they're kind of combining the different Gospels, and in John's Gospel they did the washing of the feet. And so it's you're being immersed into what happened kind of step by step, starting with the Last Supper, then moving into Good Friday, you know, with going to the Garden of Gethsemane at the end of Holy Thursday. They'll walk around with the ciboriums of the Eucharist,
mm-hmm.
and they'll go somewhere else. It's either another place of the church, another place on campus, where the Eucharist is housed, and it's like it's in the garden, and you can go and stay with him for an hour, and that'll be that way for a good bit into the evening and into the night. And then after that, once you go on Friday, everything is stripped. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing left, no decorations, no nothing. The tabernacle's open and empty because it's Good Friday. It's when Jesus is crucified and died on the cross and is buried.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, like, one of the things that's so incredible about it, it feels like it's one of the things that really separates us as Catholics, number one,
mm-hmm.
and that it's not all done at once. It's right. not just like the Easter service where you kind of get into it. I mean, this happened over the course of 3 days.
Yes.
And the church takes us, this is the most important thing that happened in all of history, mm-hmm. and the church takes us, like, into it. I mean, we are immersed into it, and it's not like a superhero thing to go get involved in these things. This is the way it's meant to be. This is like the linchpin of the entire year.
Yeah.
And the church has been knowing it from the beginning. And it's yes. like it's like, hey, get in this. Get in this. It's amazing. Yeah.
It's a beautiful celebration, ceremony. I just love the tradition. I think the most important thing that I learned, and it was very interesting, the Mass begins on Holy Thursday. The Mass really doesn't end until Easter, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, it is kind of, it's a seamless celebration, and you're moving through it over the course of 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely beautiful. And I think especially, like, with the family, I know I've been tempted to, like, look, that's asking a lot.
Yes.
You know, like to try to get to all those things is asking a lot.
Right.
And when we started having kids and they're little bitty, they don't know what's going on.
No.
But we discovered, because we were kind of, my wife and I were already kind of in the habit of going. We really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
But we discovered what the kids saw, that they loved it, even though, you know, by halfway through, they're throwing tantrums and stuff. It's a battle. I had to walk a kid out. The priest was talking about how the elevation is like this key moment, and it's not like, during the elevation, one of my kids went nuts.
Yeah.
And like, I was at the end of my rope. But it was amazing how, like, regardless of all that,
yeah,
they know that something huge and special is going on, because they've been to Mass before, but this is different.
Yes.
Like, different stuff's happening. They're sitting up, craning their necks, watching. Like, they can feel the depth of this, even if they don't fully understand. So we've made efforts to make it every year, even if it's like, I mean, it takes everything we've got.
Yeah.
So this is one of those things, like, yeah, it takes everything you got, because it's that big of a deal.
And that's
it's
what I was...
It's like, clean, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was curious about, is because, you know, hey, you got a big old family, and to keep everybody in check for... You're talking, it's over an hour, except for, I know on Good Friday, that's a lot shorter of a service, but with Holy Thursday, with the readings, and then the washing of the feet and everything...
Yeah.
How do you keep their? How do you keep them tame for that long?
You know, the washing of the feet is super interesting for kids. Right?
Okay, all right.
So
yeah.
To know that
yeah.
that's coming, we talked them through that. So I think the difference is make it interesting, and then when they're walking out, you know, with the Eucharist things processing out. So we try to talk about what's going on, if they can handle that. But if they can't, they at least they know that this is a big deal. I mean, we're going to Mass at night, which we never do, because
right,
they can't
right.
handle it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. So, and then especially when Good Friday is like a totally different experience. The priests walk in and then they flop on their faces and they're like, what is going on? You know,
that's true. That's
so
true.
To explain that to them. And then we all kneel down and we take off our shoes to go and venerate
the cross.
The cross. The cross.
Right. Yeah.
So it's, I think to know that like, this is a continuation. And otherwise, to be honest, and I know as adults, we can say this, but for kids too, what is Easter?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like I know we can do special things at our house, and
right.
we do, you know, we do our best to try to make it liturgical at our house and talk about what's going on each of these days.
Sure.
But it's just a nice conversation. And even then it's like, well, mom and dad are telling us that they're kind of into this thing, but everybody's kind of just living life.
Yeah.
Like, no, we're interrupting life, and we're going to Mass at weird times, and we're waking kids up from naps. It's whack. And this is nuts. Like this is something big here. And then we go, and there's this huge service that's clearly been like a lot put into this. And it's solemn and it's deep, and everybody there is so serious, and the music is reflective of that, and it's everything's different. And so it really, that I think, without that,
mm-hmm.
Easter really is not that big of a deal. You know, like
yeah,
for kids especially.
Right, right. I mean, it's one of those, hey, we go to church, let's go home and eat the rest of our candy and have some ham.
That's right.
But what do you do? What do you do for the Easter Vigil? Because that is the big one. I mean, that
yeah.
is the long one. You got all those readings and everything. Do y'all do the vigil?
You know, it depends.
Okay.
So what we've done, because with, I mean, you're talking like 2-3, maybe more hours, depending on how many people you're baptizing and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's late at night.
Yeah.
We've done it, you know, with the littles, and it's, I mean, they're all falling asleep, and you're trying to make them comfy in the pew. It's just, it's a lot. We've decided over the course of years, for the most part, that we'll take some of the older kids if we can, as they've gotten a little bit older. It's definitely something we try to do with the olders. But if we've done Holy Thursday and Good Friday, Easter Sunday is still very special.
Yeah.
So I feel like we're missing something, but sometimes there's seasons for that and there's not seasons for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you're right.
Right?
You're
so
right.
Some years we've done it, some years we haven't. But that's one of those, it's like, because the Easter Vigil is such a culmination, which is beautiful, Easter Sunday is still a culmination if we've done Holy Thursday and Good Friday with them as well.
Okay.
So it's that's one of the things, I think, because it's so late at night and because it's so long,
yeah.
that there are human restraints that we have to recognize. But I think, you know, we know families who do take their kids and they just recognize, yeah, we brought blankets, you know?
Yeah, that's a great idea. And do you have any other tips, you know, as far as like, somebody says, you know what, okay, I'm going to bring my kids and we're going to experience the Triduum this year, starting at Holy Thursday.
Yeah. Right.
Quick, we got about a minute. What are some tips?
Yeah. Don't bring stuff.
Okay.
Don't bring toys. Don't bring drinks. Don't bring food.
All right.
That is going to destroy them. There's an assumption that, like, I can make it through this. I've got some stuff. When the kids are bored and they're having a hard time,
yeah,
it's so much easier to fight about food and toys and to whine about that than it is to pay attention. And the noise and the and unpacking and the repacking, we discovered the hard way that the less you bring, the better.
Okay.
Not because we're trying to be superheroes, but because it really does bite you in the rear when you try to bring all that stuff to make it easier for them.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So no toys. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. And no then what toys, and then they'll actually focus.
Okay. And then what do you recommend that you feed them or something beforehand? No sugar,
high
I imagine.
High protein, high fat. Yeah. Seriously, and it sounds crazy, but like high protein, high fat.
Yeah.
Back it in because that way it sustains them.
I'll be darned. Right? Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yep. Dave, thanks for the tips. We're gonna let you go. Be careful. It sounds like you're driving. And hug all those grandbabies for me.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us, Dave. All right.
Bye-bye.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. That's something that I wasn't brave enough to do, to bring the kids to the trail home. But anyway.
Yeah. Same here.
Yeah, but boy, I can't recommend the Tritium enough for all families. Okay, look, it's 44 past the hour. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Ray Garandy on Wake Up. Past the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson with Damian Collado, and right now we have a dear friend. You can hear him all the time on Catholic Community Radio. Dr. Ray Garandy joined us. Good morning, Doctor.
Morning, David. How are you?
I'm doing great. My co-host here, Damian, and I were talking. We've been both married over 40 years, and we're always working on our marriages. And you got a great book, Simple Steps to a Stronger Marriage. Talk about that.
10 ideas, David.
Okay.
That you can implement as a spouse. Very simple stuff. Straightforward, easy stuff. You would expect this stuff almost from an 8-year-old. And then, as a shrink who meets resistance in therapy, I spend about 80% of the book trying to get you over your resistance to doing these little things.
Uh-huh. Because I got it all figured out, right? And I don't need your help. Is that it?
Well, that and the fact that, why should I have to do this? My spouse isn't doing it.
The resistant factor, they don't feel like, right, one of the steps, I'm curious, and it really intrigued me is, us Italians, when we were growing up, keep your mouth shut. You have one that's entitled, don't say it. I think that is so important sometimes that we should just bite our tongue.
If I kept my mouth shut for 1 minute, when I most felt the urge to say it, I would say about 80% of the time I wouldn't have to apologize. Mm-hmm. You never have to apologize for what you didn't say.
Yeah.
Most of the time in marriages or any relationship, gentlemen, the impulse, the emotional surge is what makes you say these things.
Yeah.
And once they're out, I suppose you can say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it.
Mm-hmm.
But the comeback to that is, you said it, so maybe you mean it somewhere down deep. If you can shut your mouth, I always say for 1 minute. Now, most people say, well, that's like running a marathon. Okay, shut it for 20 seconds then. Work like you're lifting weights. Get yourself to a point where you can bench press 200 pounds. You couldn't do it when you first walked into the gym. But if you practice this, and so the simple step is, when you most feel like saying it, don't say it. That's the sign not to say it.
Right.
Exactly.
So the book is not necessarily for marriages that are hurting then, right? This is to strengthen and improve the relationship we already have, right?
Yeah, because these things are the kinds of things that, if you want a better marriage, they're easy to do.
Yeah, and who doesn't want that?
Use your manners. You have the manners of a 5-year-old. We make 5-year-olds say please and thank you all the time.
Right.
In marriages, there's something that I call the law of social entropy. You get sloppy. Mm-hmm. You don't say please. You don't say thank you. You don't give compliments. You don't notice the good things. Not because you're hostile. You just get lazy. Like you gentlemen say, it's been 40 years, you know? Come on, she knows I'm grateful.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have the manners of a 5-year-old.
Yeah, right, just, Ray, why do we take our marriages for granted? I think that's where we get into trouble, too.
Humans have a natural tendency to acclimate to anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like the Mass. You go to the Mass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you've been hearing some of those same prayers for 40 years. How easy it is not to pay attention to them. Why? Well, because they're not new. My spouse, living with her, living with him, and not new anymore.
Right.
We've known each other. So it takes an effort. It's like, again, I'm going to bring it back to lifting weights.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk into that weight room, the first-time lifter, you're looking at somebody who can handle weights you could never dream of touching.
Mm-hmm.
But in a marriage, it's like, hey, after 40 years, you should be even better at this,
mm-hmm.
not sloppier.
Gotcha. Gotcha. You know, one of your steps here is the importance of developing the habit of saying, I'm sorry. That's tough to do sometimes.
Several things. There's a whole bunch of resistances to I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
Okay, well, let's see how that would play out if you had a poll of unbiased observers. They might not think that.
Okay.
Two, if I say I'm sorry, my spouse will think I'm the one totally wrong. No. There's something I call the personal apology percentage. That means how wrong do you have to be before you say I'm sorry? Your spouse has badgered you for 12 minutes. You've kept your mouth shut. Finally, you erupt. You yell and you curse. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in your opinion, you were 8% wrong.
8%.
Are you going to apologize for your 8%? Here's another thing.
That's
if you want apologies in a marriage, this is really important, gentlemen, and I say this to every spouse listening. If you want your spouse to apologize, the worst thing you can do is throw it back in their face. Sorry doesn't make everything right. You know, if you were truly sorry, you'd change.
Yeah, I see. Yeah.
I never want a priest to tell me that after I've gone to confession for 30 years saying the same sins. I don't want him to say, you know, Ray, if you were truly sorry, you changed. I'm not going to give you absolution.
Right, right. Yeah.
So, Ray, in the final minute or so that we have, what are some good positive things to enhance your marriage, especially once you become empty nesters again and the kids are gone? I mean, you hear about date night. You hear about making the space for the other one. Share with us two or three key things.
Make a list. Sit down and take some time away from your spouse to write down all the things you admire and appreciate.
Okay.
There should be hundreds of them. There really should be hundreds of them.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, you can say things like you vacuumed the front room very nice. you keep the car clean. I mean, you could say a million things.
Sure.
Yeah. Write them all down and then sit down with your spouse and say, I got to tell you something that I haven't told you probably in way too long, and I want to tell you what I'm noticing here, and I wanted to gather them up. So that's the first thing. Make a list.
Wow.
Second thing, use your manners. For heaven's sake, hey, give me a cup of coffee, would you?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Wait a minute. I mean, okay, you asked, but you didn't say please.
Right.
And when the coffee was put in front of you, every time that coffee was put in front of you, did you say, hey, thank you, honey, that was really sweet?
Mm-hmm.
It's manners.
Yeah.
Third thing, ask a question. Spouses will come into my office, and I'll say, well, do you know why she thinks you don't stick up for her with her mother? No. How long have you been married? 24 years.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever asked her?
Right.
In other words, get inside your spouse's head to find out why they're upset about these things. You don't have to agree with it.
Right.
But they want to be understood. And it's been said that people much more often want to be understood than agreed with.
Right, right. It's a matter of listening, just learning how to listen as well. Dr. Ray, how do we get this book?
If you want a signed copy
and
a discounted copy, all you got to do is go to my website, drray.com, drray.com.
Oh, that's excellent. Easy. That's very easy, and plus it's a signed copy.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, Dr. Ray, it's good to talk to you again. Look forward to talking to you again soon. And thank you so much for joining us.
Gentlemen, I appreciate it.
All right.
Yeah, look at that. Simple website for simple steps to a strong marriage.
Simple steps to a strong
marriage.
Work
hand in hand.
It's got to be nurtured, just like anything else that we do, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
well, we're going to close with a prayer to Blessed John of Parma. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord God, who graciously imbued Blessed John with heavenly doctrine, grant through his intercession that we may keep the same teaching faithfully and express it in what we do. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. St. John Parma, pray for us. All right. We got a great show tomorrow. We got Catherine Weidert, Communications Coordinator with the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Father Greg Markey, he's the head chaplain of St. Thomas Aquinas College in Massachusetts. A lot of other guests going to be joining us as
Michelle Schroeder,
Dr. George.
Saramunga
is going to be talking about a new book. So thank you for joining us on Wake Up. We'll see you tomorrow.
Is a production of Catholic Community Media.